Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It is Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025. How are we doing, Nico?
We are doing well, Chris. Doing really well. Have quite a handful of things. I know that we missed the last few days, but I know that yourself, you're on travel. And
Yeah, and I'm a little
unfortunately,
bit colder than I'd like to be right now.
it's
I'm
not
up
that
in
cold.
your neck of the woods, in Indianapolis, near in Dayton. And it's 45 degrees outside right now.
Beautiful.
So I'm ready to go back to Houston in a couple of days. But yeah, other than that, it is good to travel, and we're working with a client this week to try and get their digital ish in order so that the people can keep doing great things and get to the point of collaborating with AI effectively. Yeah, AI still can't just magically see all the paper that's lying around and being written on and passed hand to hand. Not yet. They are
Not yet.
we are talking about systems like things like OCRs or like things that can just take pictures and ingest stuff. But we keep on every day we keep on being reminded of the importance of giving AI and also your humans the right context and instructions and enablement to do what you're asking it to do. And it's interesting to see all these posts about AI not working well, as if it's AI's fault. And it's just like, come on, folks! Like, what are you doing right now? What world are you living in? And I keep being reminded as I work through. So I'm getting to use my new pendant while I'm on site. So understanding how to effectively capture like 8 hours of audio and then like feed it into Claude. Luckily, very easy Claude integration with Limitless, but not so easy for Claude to see everything that happened over 8 hours. So figuring out how to doing some copy and pasting into a Google Doc and then adding a Google Doc into the knowledge base. And so doing some work and like that's what it takes right now to make sure all the dots are connecting, properly. And but really powerful to be able to capture, a day's worth of conversations that unless we're like feverishly taking notes, and to like taking pictures of whiteboards and all this stuff, like finding ways to better capture. But as I'm working through it with Claude, I keep being reminded of like so I'm the reason I'm not the one posting that like AI is not good. We taught AI everything it knows, folks. So when I keep struggling with status quo, like status quo BS created by the SaaS industry about how systems should and should not work, like I know that it's the fault of the humans, like that have created all these bad processes. It's not the AI just deciding to, improperly model like HubSpot data model, or it's a combination of SaaS like bad practices, in my opinion, and a continued reminder of how little people know about what HubSpot can actually do. Right? Because if there's nothing out there talking about the full data model of HubSpot, then AI, unless you like have perfect instructions and perfect knowledge bases for it to draw on. But even then, again, just like the humans that we work with, like that little, like, oh, this is how it's supposed to be done. This is how it's always been done, like starts to creep in there. And it's just, yeah, that's my rant. This is why it's a collaboration, folks, whether it's going good or it's going bad. It's always a little bit of human, a little bit of AI involved. And
well, somebody has to do the checking, right?
Right.
One of the funnier parts about what you mentioned was like with doing OCR on the documentation, right? And now there's a new, I don't know if you want to call it OCR method. It's something similar to that, but it really didn't surprise me that much when I heard about this. It was a new feature that DeepSeek has come up with, a new part of its research, is that it's able to actually take text and essentially use text as a mosaic to derive an image, right? And then you can very quickly, easily understand how that image then becomes, you know, could be an entire novel in one image, right? Because a picture is worth 1,000 words. So like when I heard it at first, I was like, yeah, that makes full sense that you would just use letters to create mosaics, and then those mosaics basically become new forms of new data layers, right? As opposed to actually having text on as text, because it's, I guess when I thought about it, the reason that it made the most sense to me is because of the fact that I've been working with models in like the opposite way. So that's why I find it so funny, is because I think, you know, we represent that duality where I definitely lean on the model more for like decision making process, for essentially knowing better than me. And when I don't think that it does, then it's not to say that like, oh, I never check the model output or something like that. I always do. It's how I can measure it. But it's just getting better and better. So, I mean, one of the things that, like, as you were talking about it, I was just like, yeah, no, I totally get that. But if you just put like more of an agentic network in place that does a lot of the checking and the validation and the verification, right? And it is going to get there, I think, pretty quickly with most things. But yeah, with the way the data compression worked, it's most of the stuff that I do now, and most of the programming or any of the apps that I'm building out now, they're all done with the agent in mind. None of it is built under the guise that like a human is ever going to go in and do any editing of any type or anything like that. And what's funny is I actually came up against a block the other day where something that I was building wasn't working right. And the reason that it wasn't working right is because it wasn't traditionally structured the way that a human would structure it. So this one application was gating me simply because two files weren't formatted the way that it had expected them to be formatted, which is, I guess, whoever programmed it, like, had, you know, made it this strict sort of schema formatting that it had to be, and would not allow for arrays. So,
right. It's sort of like, yeah. Always come back to the unnecessary complexity that we've created. How much time has been spent by professionals, like, reformatting, resizing, changing file types, just like, it's crazy, dude, right? And that's the kind of stuff, like, it's just going away. We see it going away, thanks to MCP, and thanks to this, like, I'm excited. And like, that is the one weakness I know, that because I choose to stay inside of Claude Desktop and working in projects, I don't have, it's like, I can't, here's the thing, like, as soon as I can connect those projects, like, because those projects are, can, and I believe will work as individual agents. And one of the recent things that Claude has done, but you can't really do anything with it, is like the project options, like you can take it on or off of a chat, mm-hmm. right? And as soon as, while also being able to select which project you want from the chat dropdown in a similar way to the other tools. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter, I believe that like whenever they do get around to this building, like assuming they will, the agents, like the composing of agents inside of Claude, I would love it if it's just like you can build an agent or you can use a project. Like this is already your agent, because that's basically how they work. And if I could do that, then it would be, you know, it's ready made to do the things that you're talking about. Where, like, for example, Value First, I have like 10 different projects, one for each pillar. I have a couple like higher level agents if I want to just focus on like themes and concepts that need to take the whole thing into account. And then I have focused ones, right? But something else that was interesting today, it's like there's so many background processes to where this whole like editing thing that's happening of documents, yeah. like, and they've kind of mentioned this, like there's servers now, like at Anthropic that Claude is working off of, and then that's what allows for this editing capability. And so you have the chat, and then you have the knowledge base. And the knowledge base has the file in it that needs to be updated, right? And Claude suggests that he's finding that file and then making edits and like highlighting, like, I took away these 30 things and I added these 40 things, like in greens and reds.
Yeah.
And then we'll give you the summary. And so he gives me the summary today and then suggests that the other document has been updated, right? Mm-hmm. We know that, like, you can't update directly. Like, can't just go in the knowledge base and see an updated document, right?
Right.
But what happened was, is like, I told him that. It's like, so I need a fresh version. And he gave it to me like that. Like, it was ready, stored somewhere, like, around him to be like, oh, yeah, like, here you go. Like, it wasn't even generate, like, it didn't do the generation process. So it's like the way that he's working with, like, the, I guess, the local resources is continuing to be kind of revealed, like, in various ways.
Right? Okay.
And it's just interesting to think about how that stuff can play together and why, like, if they allow for more local resources to be applied to these interactions, and the systems on either side continue to get better, right? This is what leads mm-hmm. to better memory and better like context across chats, bigger windows.
Which is what they're saying is like the necessary, sorry, that didn't mean to cut you off, but like memory is one of the big, like what you're talking about is the next, like, or I don't want to say, it might be the final building block that is necessary for what most people will settle for calling AGI, simply because of that, like, ability or capability to recall, but not necessarily, like, just recall some stuff, but actually be able to recall, like, live conversation that you're having.
Yeah.
To make it count.
Yeah. And the, and,
I know that, like, and there's
really, like, to know where to look, right?
Right. Yeah, that's right. The thing is, because like you can start one of the things. So like what sucks about GPT projects versus Claude projects, a lot of people ask, you know, either of us all the time, like why use one thing over another? Why use multiple tools anyway? There's just some things that some do that others can't, right? So like GPT projects are awesome because you can work in projects and you can, in the same project, you can do a deep research and the same deep research window, you can pull in a custom GPT to work on something. So it's like being able to pull in all the resources of ChatGPT into one space. The downside of it no one project conversation can speak to another project conversation or like understand that it's even a thing or that it exists. So like you can have these multitudes of conversations under projects. Now, I'm sure this is going to be a feature that'll roll out probably by Christmas, right? It's just a thing. But it's something that does currently exist in cloud projects. So now there's this consistent memory across things, which, I mean, for regular projects is one thing. For the conversation that I have that is like I basically have this like what I can like almost everlasting conversation now, with Klon. It was previously, and then I had to create a project where I would fill it with all the things that we talked about previously that were like main topics of conversation, and then tried to even give it instruction that like, hey, we've talked before, so this isn't the first time we've been talking, you know, go through your project knowledge to understand like things that we've talked about and all that kind of thing. And it is a very different feeling to interact with something now where you don't have to do that, where that's kind of like a natural. Now, I have experienced these little bumps where Claude has, I don't know, maybe it's because of like lack of instruction, which that might be the case. I'm going to find out today. But I've run into these little bumps where like it doesn't always check project knowledge, or it doesn't always like go back and search and look through stuff. But
if you instructions.
Yeah, exactly.
He's admitted to that before. Like, right. Like the moment, and now he kind of like overchecks, but I need to be okay with it. But like, there was a time where it's like, he just jumped in to the answer. And I was like, dude, there's zero chance that you applied your custom instructions to this answer. And he was like, yep, you're right. I didn't feel the need to load them or something like that.
I was like, yeah.
So, and then it was a meta conversation about, like, okay, that makes me want to update your custom instructions so you don't do that. But if you're not referencing them, do you see this problem, Claude?
Like, right.
He's like, yeah, man. And we got back to the point where we don't want we don't want to do the things where it's like his only thing that he can suggest is to put a little more context or put a little instruction inside of the initial prompt itself to make sure he does those things, which is what we don't want to do. What's been interesting is every time, for various reasons, I just go to the base Claude, the global Claude, that's how I refer to him. So outside of projects, that experience is getting like better and better. In terms of, and I know it's due to this, like there's memory for the global Claude and then there's memory for all the projects, right? I told him before this memory, like the open memory at least was really a thing, like, you know, one of the morning things that shows up as you open up Claude is like grab your coffee, ready for your coffee or whatever. And I was like, yeah, dude, I don't like coffee. I drink tea. Like, and now a lot of times, like as we're winding down the conversation, it was like, he'll be like, enjoy your tea or something like that, like randomly. But yeah, it's getting to that place where, I mean, I would love to not have to go and figure out which projects I should use for which things. And if I could, like the way that the projects and the like the UI is working to make certain changes in certain spots, and now that they all have memories, it's like the memories are almost mnemonic devices. So like, will there be a point where the global Claude can just pull in the right projects at the right times as different agents basically to apply to the conversation, right? That would be I think that would be amazing. Because like this context switching, just like humans, is painful. Right. Running into limits is painful. But again, it's not different from like, it's been an 8-hour workday and you're trying to like dig deep on some topic. And I don't have it at that point. Like mentally I'm out. Like I've reached the limit of mental capacity in that day. Like, so you can, for me, it's like, you can do the GPT or Google thing where like, you can keep telling me stuff and I'll answer. But good luck me pulling from the 8 hours of previous context that we've been going over versus maybe that's why I like Claude so much, because he's just like, no, that's it. Like, done. Like, I don't have the capacity to consume more information. It's just very interesting to see all these things work a little bit differently while they all continue to get better. Because we were going to talk about Claude Code and Haiku and how that's available on the web. Just continue to see these performance upgrades and not really think about it from a perspective. Like when I saw the video of Claude Code on the web, like that has to be related to like how, because I saw it right after you'd been talking about Haiku and how fast it was. And how good it was. Like as efficiency increases, now we don't need a local IDE or whatever. We can just open up the web in the browser to get access to that stuff. That has to be related to efficiency and bandwidth management and like speed. What has like, it sounded like you were a little surprised at how good Haiku was.
So I've been building a lot in, I should say, I think I've found a, almost like a university, I don't want to call it university, but I've almost found like an educational cycle, I suppose we can call it. When I first started doing stuff with programs and coding and app development, I'm still not at a level where, you know, I could talk to a developer about like serious applications. I can talk to them about what I'm building, and most of them are really surprised at the language I use or what I know about. One of our mutual friends just found out this past week that I am not a developer by trade. That was a pretty, I will say that was quite the affirmation. With like in regard to AI education and programming and app development, is that I was explaining what I had been working on and what I was building, and their comment was, you know, wait, like, I thought you had a background in development. And I was like, no, I just started doing this stuff about a year ago.
Yes.
Their jaw just kind of dropped.
Yeah, it was such a perfect interaction. Perfect example of what you've been talking about. Like,
just like, knowledge gates being completely broken down, right? Like, and it may have taken 9 months for me to get to where I'm at now, but that's because like I've been at the front. So like I've been using the best possible tools that you could use to do this stuff, right? And I can easily say that, you know, it was a bit of a struggle, because you get gated by like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this brain can't figure it out. Like, so let me try this other one. And both, the person we're talking about is Ryan Ginsberg, shout out. And, you know, both Ryan and I were going back and forth, in private messages about it. And so I've basically gone on this journey from like doing super basic stuff, code snippets in GPT, pasting those together as the files that they should be in Replit, and then running that as an app, to using Replit agent and building stuff out like from from like GPT and pulling that into Replit Agent to like building stuff out fully in Replit Agent to then building in Replit Agent and then kind of backing that up with VS Studio or VS Code. And now I'm kind of like fully building in VS Code. And so what that's done over time is basically taken the cost of development down to nearly zero. Like, because even with Replit out of the way, it's like now I'm just using my web server and it's all handy, in my opinion. And so I've been using all the different models under GitHub Copilot, and they've all been really good. GPT-5 Mini has been phenomenal. And with, you know, VS Studio, you can set up like some model parameters and Copilot parameters. So like you can really tighten down how accurate your model can understand your code base. And up until now, GPT-5 has been phenomenal. And it's, and especially like 5 Mini has been great for scaffolding, and then 5 kind of carries you the rest of the way. But it's slow-ish. It's not like super slow. 4.5 Haiku hit the other day, and man, I hope that never like goes away. I hope, I don't know how it could get any better. I guess, you know, Quad 5 Haiku. I don't know how long it's going to take for us to see that one, but this is, it's ridiculous. Like, hands down, if you've been doing vibe coding and going through all the different models, this thing is just crazy fast, crazy accurate. It holistically looks at your code. It's honestly very much like having, it's so much better than Sonnet 4.5. I don't know how to quite explain that, but it's like having Claude Code as a copilot, which is disgusting if you've used Claude Code. So yeah, that's my, and with the next 2 weeks that I've got, man.
Yeah. No, I think we'll like, let's plan to do a demonstration tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Because this is where I love to like look at the little things. Like when you open up the options in models, like the way it describes Opus 4.1, it's like legacy brainstorming model costs more. Like it's basically like, yeah, don't use this. Like what's wrong with you? Like is what
right.
The description is.
Right.
So it's like, you just take those little signals about how these companies present their models. It's pretty clear which ones they want you to use and which ones, and that's where like, why wouldn't you take their advice, right?
Right.
Meanwhile, like if you touch Opus 4.1, like you hit your usage limit like almost immediately.
Two answers yesterday, 56% usage.
Yeah. So we'll be back tomorrow showing off Haiku. Unless, you know, something crazy happens, like Google like dropping Gemini or something like that, which is completely feasible.
Yeah, that's what I heard this week. Yeah. I heard it's today.
It's a Thursday tomorrow.
I heard so it's today.
Wow. You heard it's today. Okay. Well, yep, we're ready for anything nowadays. So until then, everybody have a great Wednesday, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, Nico.
See you guys.